It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
If you're claiming no qualifying children, but you're claiming the credit based on your low income, the max credit that you can get for the year is $506. And that goes all the way up to $6,269. Of credit for a taxpayer with three or more qualifying children.
It further requires the IRS to hold all refunds that include earned income tax credit or the additional child tax credit until February 15th. This will allow the IRS more time to verify the validity of refunds.
Attorney Nancy Rosner at the Community Tax Law Project and Sherry Stadler at the Taxpayer Advocate Service explain the Earned Income Tax Credit, or EITC, that helps low-income workers keep more of their income through credits, resulting in a larger income tax refund. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll learn how Virginia state legislators took a tentative first step toward cracking down on internet lenders. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 302, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR, 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Virginia state legislators took a tentative first step toward cracking down on internet lenders who push triple-digit interest rate loans, but only after following the usual pattern in recent years of killing measures to rein in those lenders' charges and business practices. The Senate Commerce and Labor Committee approved a proposal by State Senator Scott Serovell to require internet lenders to abide by the state's licensing and other consumer finance regulations. However, it rejected efforts by Serovell and State Senator Mamie Locke to tighten rules for the kind of high-interest credit loans. Called open-end credit agreements, they are like credit cards, a line of credit that lets you borrow up to a certain amount and requires you only to make a minimum payment. In Virginia, there is no cap on these rates, and borrowers can easily end up paying thousands of dollars in finance charges without reducing the balance owed. Interest on those loans ranges as high as 399%, and when the fees lenders charge are added in, costs can balloon to the equivalent of a 960% interest rate, said David Irvin of the Office of the Attorney General's Consumer Protection Section. He said Serovell's bill would force open-end lenders to follow the same rules as payday lenders, many of which moved into the open-end credit business after the Virginia General Assembly enacted regulations covering those loans. Serovell's bill would have banned open-end lenders from electronically debiting a borrower's bank account, from making more than one loan at a time, and from filing suit against a borrower until 60 days after the borrower stopped paying the loan. His bill also would have required lenders to follow the Federal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. Lenders routinely threaten borrowers with arrest by sheriffs, said Dana Wiggins of the Virginia Poverty Law Center. The bill would not have capped interest rates, however. The committee rejected the bill by a voice vote. It also rejected Locke's proposal blocking any car title lender, a company that lends money when borrowers turn over title to their cars or trucks as security, from getting into the open-end credit business. It also aimed at keeping open-end credit lenders out of the offices run by car title lenders or payday lenders. The aim is to avoid a common problem. Borrowers think they are arranging a title or payday loan, which, unlike open-end credit, don't keep growing, when they actually are on the hook for a credit agreement that can easily get out of hand. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the Community Tax Law Project, and we are speaking with Nancy Rossner, staff attorney with the Community Tax Law Project, as well as Sherry Stadler. She is the local taxpayer advocate for Virginia Taxpayer Advocate Service. And we'll be talking about the Earned Income Tax Credit, which is especially timely because Friday, January 27th, 2 days from today, is Earned Income Tax Credit, EITC Awareness Day. So, Sherry, you have the first question. Tell us, what exactly is the Taxpayer Advocate Service?
The Taxpayer Advocate Service is an independent part of the IRS that reports directly to Congress. Our mission is to help taxpayers resolve problems with the IRS and recommend administrative and legislative changes to prevent those problems.
So, Sherry, what do you do at the Taxpayer Advocate Service?
Well, I am the local taxpayer advocate for the state of Virginia. My office specifically assists taxpayers in resolving problems with the Internal Revenue Service that they haven't been able to correct on their own dealing directly with the IRS. We typically assist taxpayers who have experienced some type of IRS failure or delay, or they have problems with the IRS that's causing them some type of economic or financial hardship.
So, Nancy, since we are talking about the Earned Income Tax Credit, or EITC, tell us, what exactly is the EITC?
Sure. The EITC is a refundable tax credit for working people, and it is for individuals earning low to moderate incomes. The purpose of the credit is to offset taxes, to help supplement low wages, and it also serves to be a work incentive. Now, because it's a refundable credit, not only can it reduce your income tax liability, but it can also put money back into your pocket when you file your tax return.
So who can claim this credit?
Well, first and foremost, you have to have earned income for the year. That could be anything from wages, salaries, tips, self-employment income. You also have to fall within the income requirements to be eligible for the credit, and I think we'll probably discuss that a little later on here. Your filing status cannot be married filing separately. You do have to be a U.S. citizen or resident alien for the year with a valid Social Security number that allows you to work. And then the rules vary depending on whether you have a qualifying child or not to claim for the credit.
So what are the rules for workers who have a qualifying child?
In order to claim the Earned Income Tax Credit based on a qualifying child, the child does have to meet certain criteria to be eligible. So the relationship has to qualify, meaning the child is a direct biological child, stepchild, foster child, legally adopted, sibling, step-sibling, or any one of their descendants. The child also has to be at the right age, which means at the end of the filing year, the child was younger than the taxpayer and either under 19 or under 24 and a full-time student. The child also has to live with a taxpayer for at least 6 months out of the year, and the child must not file a joint tax return for the year unless to get a refund.
And now, what are the rules for workers who do not have a qualifying child?
You do have to have earned income to be eligible for the credit, and you also have to be between age 25 and age 65 as of the end of the year.
So who would be an eligible foster child?
An eligible foster child is one that is placed with you by an authorized placement agency or by judgment, decree, or an order of the court or competent jurisdiction. So sometimes we have clients that took in maybe a neighbor or a friend's child, and unfortunately, because they were not legally placed in the home, that child would not be considered a foster child for the purpose of this credit.
So back to you, Sherry. Are there any concerns with regard to the earned income tax credit?
Well, as you may know, the earned income tax credit has become one of the government's largest anti-poverty programs, and it's extremely beneficial to low-income taxpayers. The credit does, however, have a high rate of improper payment. The IRS currently estimates that the improper payment rate for earned income tax credit is about 24%. This accounts for an estimated $15.6 billion in improper payments. For this reason, the IRS continues to try to reduce these improper payments, and sometimes their efforts impact taxpayers that are legitimately entitled to the credit.
So, Sherry, what is the primary cause of improper payments?
Well, the most common type of earned income tax credit error is income misreporting. To combat this, the IRS matches the income reported on tax returns with the information statements such as the W-2s and 1099s issued by the taxpayer's employer and payers to determine if the taxpayer has correctly reported their income. Approximately 65% of the improper earned income tax payments refunded were determined to involve misreported income.
All right, so back to you, Nancy. Are there certain disability retirement benefits other than Social Security and SSI that are considered as earned income for the purposes of the earned income tax credit?
Yes, certain long-term disability benefits that are received prior to minimum retirement age can be considered income for the earned income tax credit, and that's because the benefits are treated as wages until the taxpayer reaches the age of retirement. And the age of retirement is typically the age at which you can first receive a pension if you are not disabled.
So now a basic general question. How does a taxpayer get the earned income tax credit?
Well, you do have to file a tax return. So you do need to file a Form 1040 or a Form 1040A if you're claiming at least one qualifying child for the earned income tax credit. You can also claim the credit with a Form 1040EZ if you're not claiming any qualifying children. But you do have to file the return to claim the credit, even if you're not required to file a return that year because your income was so low.
Okay, so for tax year 2016 that people will be filing in April in 2017, what are the EITC income limits?
To receive the credit based on whether you have qualifying children or not, there are income caps. Your adjusted gross income must be less than $47,955 if you have three or more qualifying children. And that number is $53,505 if you're married filing jointly. So if your income was above those caps, that means you're not going to be eligible for the earned income tax credit. Those income caps change based on how many children you're claiming, all the way down to if you're claiming no children. And so for 2016, the cap is $14,880 for a single person, or $20,430 for a married person. So if your income is above those levels, you will not qualify for the earned income tax credit if you're claiming it without a qualifying child.
And again, for tax year 2016, where people will be filing in April 2017, what are the EITC maximum credit amount that people could possibly get?
Again, the credits are going to range based on whether you're claiming children or not for the credit. If you're claiming no qualifying children, but you're claiming the credit based on your low income, the max credit that you can get for the year is $506. And that goes all the way up to $6,269 of credit for a taxpayer with three or more qualifying children. So that's either reducing your tax liability, or that can actually be money going back into the taxpayer's pocket for that year.
All right, so back to you, Sherry. What will be different about refunds involving the earned income tax credit this year?
Well, in 2015, Congress enacted two provisions that will assist the IRS enormously by improving the matching process and ensuring that the credits are correctly claimed. Provisions of the PATH Act of 2015 require that certain information returns, such as W-2s and 1099 MISCs, reporting non-employee compensation, be filed by January 31st. It further requires the IRS to hold all refunds that include earned income tax credit or the additional child tax credit until February 15th. This will allow the IRS more time to verify the validity of refunds. So while the initial delay may cause some inconveniences, it's our hope that this minimal delay will reduce the amount of improper earned income tax credit and child tax credit payments.
So back to you, Nancy. How does the IRS figure the earned income tax credit?
The credit is figured based on a bell curve in which the lower income individuals with more children are eligible for a larger credit, but eventually the credit does phase out once your income hits the income limits for the credits discussed earlier. To determine what your credit may be, if you believe you can qualify for the earned income tax credit, you can use the EITC assistant on the IRS website at irs.gov, and you can actually just do a search for the EITC assistant. You can also use the earned income tax credit worksheet in the instruction booklet for your tax return for this year.
Now, if the IRS denied your earned income tax credit last year, but you think you may qualify this year, what should you do?
Generally speaking, you must file a form to recertify if you claim the earned income tax credit based on qualifying children in a previous year and you were denied and you have not yet recertified. This form is Form 8862, and if you do fail to file this form and you try to claim the earned income tax credit with qualifying children, it's very likely that that credit will not be processed until you do file the form. So it is an important form if you have been denied the earned income tax credit previously.
So what should a taxpayer do if he or she was prohibited from claiming the earned income tax credit for a period of years?
Well, it is possible to challenge a ban imposed by the IRS. Usually the ban is instituted if you claim the earned income tax credit and you weren't eligible for it, and the IRS determines that it was either due to reckless or intentional disregard of the rules, or if it was due to fraud. And those bans can range from 2 years to 10 years based on the level of disregard for the rules. So you can either try to challenge the ban and provide supporting proof to the IRS that maybe you actually were eligible for the credit. However, if the ban is proper, you will have to just wait out the ban and claim the credit once that ban has been lifted.
All right, so back to you, Sherry. What advice can you provide to taxpayers who are interested in taking the credit?
Well, there's a wealth of information and resources to help you determine if you're eligible for this credit. If you have internet access, there are a wide variety of resources on www.irs.gov to include Publication 3524, which is an EITC eligibility check sheet, Publication 3211 that discusses EITC eligibility in detail, and an online tool called the EITC Tax Assistant that Nancy spoke of previously, and that will walk you through the qualification step by step, and it'll provide you with ultimately an eligibility determination.
Okay, so back to you, Nancy. This is an important question. Is a refund from an earned income tax credit, or for that matter, a child tax credit, considered income under any federally funded public benefit program?
No, Marty. Refunds received from the earned income tax credit are not considered income for any federal or federally funded public benefit program, such as Medicaid, Supplemental Security Income, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, low-income housing, or most cash assistance payments received through state TANF programs. So it will not affect your eligibility, and you really should try to see if you're eligible for this credit using some of the methods that we outlined here today.
And the follow-up question to that would be, is a refund from an earned income tax credit or a child tax credit protected from a taxpayer's credit under Virginia law?
Yes, and I believe this is a recent update in the law. Your refund will be protected from creditors under Virginia law if it involves the earned income tax credit or the child tax credit.
So tell us, Nancy, where can people get more information about the Earned Income Tax Credit, especially given that Earned Income Tax Credit Awareness Day is just 2 days away, Friday, January the 27th?
As Sherry outlined, you can go on the IRS website to get more information. You can also contact us here at the Community Tax Law Project. Our telephone number is 804-358-5855. And we both assist taxpayers with brief questions, and we also provide representation to low-income taxpayers that may have a tax case. Perhaps you claim the credit and you were found to be ineligible, or maybe someone else is trying to claim the same children that you're claiming for the credit. These are all issues that we see regularly. You can also look online at the Taxpayer Advocate Service website, and that's taxpayeradvocate.irs.gov for some other information and tools that may assist you.
And actually, that last answer raised another question in my mind, and I think people could possibly use some guidance on this. You mentioned what happens if two people are claiming the Earned Income Tax Credit for the same child. What are the basic rules that sort that mess out?
Well, that's one of the problems that the recently enacted PATH Act that Sherry mentioned is trying to sort out. By delaying the refunds, the IRS is trying to make sure that the right person who is actually eligible to claim the credit is the one that will receive it, because the IRS will only give the credit to one person if they're claiming the same child. So that's where a lot of fraud and a lot of issues come in that the IRS has to sort through when more than one tax return is claiming the same child for the Earned Income Tax Credit. So usually that will initiate an audit for the IRS where they contact the taxpayer and ask for additional information proving that the taxpayer is eligible to claim the credit.
And so what's the basic rule about which parent can claim the credit for a child and which parent cannot?
The child has to have lived with a parent for over 6 months out of the year. And that is, the right to the credit is not something that can be given away to the non-custodial parent. And that's where I think some people get confused about the credit, because it is a little different than the rules for claiming dependents. But for the Earned Income Tax Credit, the child does have to live with a parent for over half the year.
Okay, thanks for the clarification. So back to Sherry, how can the Taxpayer Advocate Service assist?
Well, last year our office helped 408 Virginia taxpayers whose refunds were delayed due to wage verification. We assisted 115 taxpayers whose earned income tax claims were being examined, and another 41 taxpayers who had been denied the Earned Income Tax Credit and wanted help obtaining an IRS reconsideration. The Taxpayer Advocate's Office also recognizes that it's difficult for many qualifying taxpayers that move frequently or have non-traditional households to provide the traditional type of documentation that the IRS may ask for. Like sometimes they'll ask for school records or medical records. So we also advocate for the taxpayer to try to get the IRS to accept alternative type documentation that they may be able to have and provide, rather than some of the things that IRS may request.
And so finally, Sherry, tell us, how can a taxpayer reach the Taxpayer Advocate's Office?
They can call our office toll-free at 1-877-777-4778, or they can call the local Richmond office at 804-916-3501.
All right, and finally, back to you, Nancy. How can a taxpayer reach the Community Tax Law Project? How can you all help? And give us the contact information, if you will.
Sure. We're a low-income taxpayer clinic, and we provide direct representation for taxpayers before the IRS. So if you qualify for our services by your income level, which is up to 250% of the federal poverty line, we provide free legal representation. So you can contact us at, telephone number is 804-358-5855, extension 5. You can also email us at info@ctlp.org.
Well, thank you very much. We have been speaking with Sherry Stadler. She is the local taxpayer advocate for the Virginia Taxpayer Advocate Service, as well as Nancy Rossner. She is a staff attorney with the Community Tax Law Project. And we have been speaking about the Earned Income Tax Credit in recognition of EITC Awareness Day, which is 2 days from now, Friday, January 27th. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Marty.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. The show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral four, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegebright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. It's tax season, and not knowing the tax laws could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when Nancy Rosner from the Community Tax Law Project offers tax tips for the 2016 tax year and for your income tax filing due Tuesday, April 18, 2017. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegebright.